Hey everyone, Chat Cemetery is back. I'm your host, Deanna Chapman, and today I am joined by James Davis to talk about the 2014 movie Mercy, which is quote-unquote loosely based on his short story, Grandma. James, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Excited to talk about the adaptation of this particular short story. It's going to be an interesting one.
Honestly, I barely remember this story, but before we dive in too far here, do you want to just quickly tell the listeners a little about yourself?
My name's James, and I work as the programming intern for New Hampshire Film Festival, and I've been a Stephen King fan since I was like 10 or 12, I think. I had this collection of short stories on my nightstand for a real long time, and I've always had a connection to Stephen King, and to be invited onto your show, very excited about it.
Awesome. Well, I want to start this off by giving this movie a little bit of credit. It wasn't my favorite thing, but it was nice and short, which I love.
It was definitely appreciative that it was a short one. I'll give you that for sure. I think I ended up liking it a little bit more than you, it seems.
Yeah.
But like I said, I love garbage movies sometimes, so that's on me.
That's totally acceptable too. And I like talking about the cast when it comes to these adaptations, because I thought this was a solid yet unexpected cast, but there was just something about it. I don't know. It didn't really come together for me. But on the cast note, you have this starring Frances O'Connor, Shirley Knight, Mark Duplass. You have Dylan McDermott showing up in it. And I am totally spacing on the kids' names, but I was like, okay, there's some familiar faces here. You have Chandler Riggs as George and Joel Courtney as Buddy. So, you know, those are the two main kids in this. You also have Amanda Walsh appearing and just some other names that might be familiar here and there, just popping in for a scene or two. But overall, what did you think of the cast for this?
The cast is interesting because I think for some reason, what this movie did to pull people in was its casting choices. But the people like Dylan McDermott and Mark Duplass, I think, were definitely pull-ins for this movie. And their characters were very small. They weren't even in the short story either. And they were just all in all a little odd. And for the cast in particular, I loved George and I loved who played Grandma. A lot. I forgot her name. I'm sorry.
Shirley Knight.
Yes. I liked her portrayal of Grandma much better than what we saw in the short story. It was one of the few casting choices. And with her and George, I just like really believed their relationship. So I thought their characters really kind of carried the emotional weight of the story a little bit better than what Stephen King even did with his short story. It was a little interesting. Sorry. I'm going on tangents here.
No. It's totally fine. With Grandma, you know, this one was so long ago in my read through of all of this stuff because it was in Skeleton Crew, which was a pretty early collection. It was released in 85, I believe, and it had been published in Weird Book Magazine before that, you know, just a year earlier. And it's one of those stories of King's where you can tell he was sort of heavily influenced by H.P. Lovecraft. And I think they ditch a lot of that here to make it not necessarily more grounded, but you really get a feel for the characters before they start diving into all of the demon talk and everything.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said with the short story being more Lovecraftian. And this one kind of goes more the general just folklore route. Rather than like having, so that's really cool there. And going back, yeah, Skeleton Crew is that book of short stories that was on my nightstand as a kid that I just delved into at like midnight when I couldn't sleep. So I think I've read this short story a couple times at this point, going back to it. Yes, this is what's happening with George. But with the movie, I do like the development of the characters more so than I do in Stephen King's short stories. But also, the movie is very loosely based on the short story, so I have to separate two different types of fiction here.
Yeah, the story is where things really end up being different. You know, I thought the cast was solid, but it's the story for me where I was kind of like, okay, I guess this is a fine story, but it didn't really make me care about a whole lot of things throughout it. And, you know, that could be said both for the short story itself and the story for this movie, because, you know, King loves baseball. He incorporates that into the grandma story. That's missing here. And in the short story, it's supposed to be they move back to Castle Rock. This looks nothing like the Castle Rock that we know. I am pretty sure it's not even Castle Rock, to be honest. It's just like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, I don't even know if they specify it. Like, it's just this random house in the middle of nowhere. I don't even think we see the town in the movie.
We do a little bit when the kids are going into town, and I think George is like, oh, I'm going to go check out the bookstore, but he really goes over to the church.
Yeah, that's the one bit of town we got. Oh my
that's
God.
It.
That's it. Wow. Yeah. If they focused this in Castle Rock in the movie, I think it would have been a lot more fun.
I think I would have enjoyed it more if they stuck a little closer to the material. And sometimes when I see that something is loosely based on a Stephen King story, I don't necessarily include it. Like, I'm not going to watch 5 seasons of Haven or whatever it is just because it barely ties to the Colorado Kid.
I forgot I was the one person that signed up to talk with you about Haven.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, do not worry about it. We don't need to talk about Haven. No, it's fine.
It's too much for me.
Too much in general, I promise.
But with this, it felt like it was a little closer to the story. It was kind of like how I felt when I watched Firestarter Rekindled or The Rage Carrie 2. It's like, I understand how this ties to the source material, but at the same time, you know, I just didn't find it enjoyable. But James, I know you actually do like this as an adaptation, so I want to focus a little more on that, because for me, it just kind of was a little too all over the place. But for you, what was it that made you enjoy it?
I think what made me enjoy it is going back to reading the short story. And I haven't, and I'll preface this, I watched Mercy first in my like rewatch, reread like route that I took. I watched Mercy first. And then I went back in and read Grandma. I don't like that he describes Grandma as being so grotesque because she's overweight and fat. He makes her very much villainous just by the way that Grandma looks. And we don't get a lot into the backstory of why Grandma is actually scary, like because she's this hidden witch that terrorized her family until like at least halfway through the short story. And I think what I liked at least with the movie adaptation of it is making the relationship between George and Grandma a little bit closer before she ultimately does this heinous act of trying to like take over George and stuff like that, which in the movie is just super corny looking at the end, but like with like holding up Grandma with this demon behind her, like nodding her head and stuff. I remember I was watching it with my partner and we just both were cracking up laughing at that. But I just like that Grandma isn't necessarily as much of a villain in the beginning of the movie. And I think that was an attempt to lengthen the short story itself, because in the short story, once we get into Grandma being more abusive towards her kids when like they were growing up and things like that, that's when we get into the real like fun part of reading the short story. But in the movie, I just like how they set it up more so for a movie format where we want to root for the person who ends up suffering from dementia and like suffering from their body degrading. But in Grandma, we're just automatically presented with her being like as a grotesque person that no one ever liked. And it's a good setup for a villain. I'll give it that. I just don't necessarily like the way she was like physically described, but also that goes back to go back again to your reference of the story being more Lovecraftian and the effects of her using these wicked books to get what she wants having an effect on possibly like her body and things like that, and the short story leaving that up to the reader and those types of interpretations makes it a little bit more fun. But with interpretation, I'm just saying that I kind of liked the route they went with Grandma and focusing it a little bit more on the relationship between a grandmother and her grandson, and that ultimately just kind of carried it a little bit more for me. I'm trying to think about some more parts I liked about the movie here. I think the relationship between Buddy and George was kind of a little bit more interesting, even though I found what they did to Buddy's character, and Buddy is barely in the short story because he like broke his leg at the beginning.
Yeah, like right away too. There's not all that buildup.
No, there's no buildup. And it was the weirdest character choice to make him like this super sushi chef type character kid. That was really weird.
Yeah. I was like, is this how they're trying to incorporate the fact that in the story they were coming from like San Francisco and moving to Maine and he had like this culture and, you know, everything else. And that never really was clarified in the movie. And it was such a weird change. You're like, can we get some explanation here? But one thing real quick I want to talk about too is how they changed the character of the aunt. In the story, it's Aunt Flo. And I thought that in the story, it was a more interesting way to handle the character because she has more than, what, one line, you know?
Yeah, she has like one, here I'm like flipping through the ebook download like really quick. She has this like one line where the phone finally starts to work in the short story and George is running to the kitchen and grandma's finally gotten out of bed, like heaving her bulk out of the bed to chase him. And he answers the phone and Aunt Flo is just like, the storm has built up here too. The wind is rattling my house. Like, is everything okay? And that moment is so much more terrifying because like it just reveals that the whole family knows signs of when grandma is having quote unquote a bad spell. And so that part was really scary for me. And in the movie, you're making a good point here. Like with like Aunt Flo, they make her like institutionalized, right?
She's mentally ill. And I felt like there were just so many things this movie changed and then did not proceed to answer as to why they made those changes.
Oh, absolutely. Man, I don't know. Now that we're talking about it, now I'm glad that we're talking about it. I never, like, this is a movie that just has existed on like random streaming services forever and has suffered from a terrible poster. So we don't get to usually talk about this one. Yeah, really isn't a lot of things. With Aunt Flo there, definitely a weird choice movie-wise. Yeah, to institutionalize her, not really give her any type of interest, like backstory to why she would really be there after the way that like the family itself is taking care of grandma. Like maybe it didn't make sense to me to put her in an institution. It didn't seem like the right thing to do in that story that they were writing, because like all the family members were there for each other. So it didn't really make sense for me to like have Aunt Flo on the other side of the country in an institution and no one's checking up on her. Like, it's a pretty close family.
Yeah. And you know, the brother and sister had some tension and it's kind of like they just left the third sibling out of it completely until she just like shows up and is dead.
Yep. They didn't even explain how she got in the car or got a car.
Yeah, it's like we get the frantic phone call from her to George, and she's like speaking very quickly and warning him and telling him to do all these things, and then all of a sudden she has escaped.
Exactly. Not even counting the fact that she somehow sent a letter. Like, where is she being? Like, clearly communication is not the problem for this institution.
This movie is truly wild.
Yeah. Aunt Flo in the short story, way better introduction, even for just a character who had like one line and just like automatically like snap like that, knew what was going on. It was like, you need to say this like right now and like get her to lay down and like get this to stop. And the final act of grandma there with the inclusion of Aunt Flo is much better in the short story than it's done in the movie, for sure.
Yeah, again, it was just for me kind of a bunch of things not being explained or adding up really. And to your point, I did enjoy what they did with George and Mercy. And it felt like, you know, a little sad that he was like, oh, my grandma's my best friend. And it's like, but you didn't even live here before now. It was sort of like he was supposed to be across the country in the story. And it was just like, oh, okay. But at the same time, they did enough early on in the movie to give you that impression. They earned that.
That's true. The movie earned one thing. It earned the good relationship between George and Mercy.
But it was a very important piece of the story to earn.
Yes, I for sure. I definitely love that about like that story. it's kind of like picking and choosing between like this adaption and this short story, but there's not much of a short story. Like looking at a long form movie and being like, okay, so they extended this. At least I like this character relationship, and that can carry me through a movie sometimes. And I think that's kind of why I liked it. I at least like seeing George, someone who like clearly loved their grandmother, even if they didn't set up how they even saw each other that often, completely forgot. Yeah, they're on the other side of the country there. But yeah, that type of relationship is just good to see and good to see build up. And I feel like for sake of short fiction, you got to make your main villain sometimes super recognizable as the main villain, which is speaks to why George was like terrified of grandma, like from the get-go.
So I know this was a shorter movie, so we might not have too terribly much to say about it, but there was another thing I wanted to note, and it was the fact that this is a Blumhouse movie, which kind of took me by surprise, because for the most part, you know, I've mostly watched more recent Blumhouse stuff, like, you know, Halloween and whatnot, and I've really enjoyed a lot of what Blumhouse is doing, and it felt like this was a bit of a miss for them. And I don't know if it's because this was earlier on before they really blew up, and I feel like more people knew what the studio was trying to do with horror and things like that. But I was like, oh, this is interesting. So out of curiosity, were you familiar with Blumhouse around the time that this came out?
By the time I watched it, I was familiar with Blumhouse. I can't pin down when I watched it. It definitely wasn't when it was released. But it is surprising with Blumhouse, because I think out of any like horror production house there, like they are the best at burying movies that they're not, like they didn't totally hit with. And They have a couple of like releases, like I don't know, there's the Blumhouse series like Into the Dark that like on Hulu, that's a feature length movie each month based around something that happens in the month. So like April Fool's Day, for example. And some of those are great. Some of those are a lot of fun, but a lot of them just are terrible. I like Blumhouse because every now and then I watch something like Mercy where I'm like, this isn't a hugely terrible, but I see why this kind of got buried by you guys. So, yeah, it is surprising every now and then to throw on a movie like Mercy that doesn't end up being the best thing ever and is attached to, like, you just see the Blumhouse title and it's like, oh, all right, this straight to streaming service movie. Okay, hello, Blumhouse. I wasn't expecting you here, but hello. Like, that's how sometimes I feel about Blumhouse when I'm watching a horror movie. I forget. They've done a couple of other oddball movies as well that you wouldn't expect their name to be attached to when they have such a great roster of horror franchises and horror films at this point.
Yeah, I was like, oh, really? You guys did this?
Yeah. Exactly. So, it's the weirdest feeling sometimes. I'm trying to think of another random one that's like Blumhouse. Oh yeah, Good Boy on Hulu with Judy Greer. That might have been another random Into the Dark episode, but I randomly put it on because I love Judy Greer, and it was about a like service dog that was like would protect her based off of her anxieties, and it was a lot of fun. But then the Blumhouse title card opened up and I was just like, oh, all right. Guess this is something you guys made. All right. Always a surprise sometimes. Mercy was definitely one of those films that was a surprise to see the Blumhouse logo pop up for.
There was one little sort of Easter egg thing that I wanted to mention. Actually, a couple.
Yeah.
There were some like adult diapers and they were Bachman brand.
Oh, my God. Really?
And then, if I'm not mistaken, the home that they go to where grandma is staying, it was like something RL flag or something like that. And it's like, okay, here's their little nod to the stand, you know. And with this being Blumhouse, it doesn't surprise me that they would put in those little Easter eggs, because that's something that a lot of people will do if they have, you know, this love for Stephen King properties. And it's safe to say that a lot of these directors do and production companies. You know, Mick Garris has done so many Stephen King adaptations. I think he's done like 7 or 9 or something like that. It's been quite a few. So, of course, he's someone who's also going to do those little things. And, you know, I don't think King makes a cameo in this one, though.
No, he didn't. I did not. I don't believe he made a cameo in this one. Would have been a fun one to have a cameo in, though.
Yeah, like if he had just popped up in the town scene or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was just like in the background of the church. That would have been fun.
Yeah, like sitting in the very back in one of the pews or something.
I love when King fans put Easter eggs into their movies. I just love it.
Yeah.
Bachman brand diapers and RL5. That is fantastic. What a fun little Easter egg.
Yeah, and honestly, sometimes I don't even catch these things. And this one, you know, I actually just happened to read about them after, and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like something I saw and didn't register at the time. So, you know, I tried to do a little research for these episodes.
Oh yeah, those are good though. Wow. Still.
But James, is there anything else you want to bring up with this movie? Like we said, it's not super long. It's not, you know, one of the best stories. You liked it probably twice as much as I did, which I love when I actually don't agree with guests sometimes, because I think it just makes the conversation a little more fun and to kind of get a different perspective on things.
Oh, it's been a great conversation. I don't know. If you're going to watch the movie, I recommend reading the short story just so you can see both sides of the coin, because yeah, the movie is by no means phenomenal. I did enjoy myself, but everything we're debating here has been very valid and has pointed to the movie not being the best adaptation, and it isn't. But it's such a fun ride. So if you've got, you know, an hour and 10 minutes and you have no idea what to watch and you're looking for a King adaptation, why not throw it on, you know?
Yeah, I feel like this is one that you can kind of put on in the background because so much of it doesn't get answered anyway.
Oh yeah, it's basically an American Horror Story. Like there's so much not getting answered that you can just put it on in the background if you don't know what to watch and just see, like, basically scroll your phone probably if you wanted to.
I think that's what I ended up doing. I try so hard to just sit down and pay attention to the movies, but then I was like 20 minutes in and I was like, I don't know what's going on. I do, but I don't, you know, kind of. It's like I'm following, but they did all this stuff. I was like, someone axed himself in the head? What?
That was the... They could have just made that. Like, in the story, Grandpa just died from a heart attack. Why didn't you just do that?
Yeah, it was so wild.
This is the weirdest plot point to add.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And they showed it to us like 3 times or something.
Yeah. And then it had that weird like comeback in the final act where yeah, like George, like it, totally odd movie.
Well, I am glad you enjoyed it more than I did because, you know, I think at this point I'm just so used to watching a bunch of things for this podcast that I'm just like, why did I do this to myself? So for me, I gave this a 1.5 out of 5. I wasn't very generous.
Fair enough. No, yeah, there was no need to be generous with that. I'm pretty positive I gave it just like a 2.5 out of 3 or like 2.5 to 3 out of 5 or something like that, just because it's just popcorn to throw on. And I personally just had like a blast with how wild the final act got with George getting like flung around and stuff. So I think I was more so just like, this is kind of campy here towards the yeah, end, and started to let go of, okay, this isn't going to be super great. So then I just let the camp overtake me. That led me to my 2.5 to 3 out of 5 stars.
Totally acceptable. But James, thank you so much for watching this, rereading the story, and coming on to talk about all of it.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a blast. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. All right, that does it for this episode of Chat Cemetery. You can support the podcast on Patreon for $1 a month. You'll get a thank you on the show. For $2 a month, I will send you a Chat Cemetery sticker. And If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Chat Cemetery on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You could also rate and review the show. That's a huge help. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.